Several days back, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I had not been sleeping an awful long time, but I was very aware that He was wanting my attention. How many know that He wants our attention? When our God is trying to get through to us, even if it's in the night hours, He has an ability to awaken us and to speak to us. So I got up, and I was up for a while, and He was reminding me that He is a numbers person. Our God is a numbers person. Everything runs on schedule. He's not having a child born on the wrong day. And He was reminding me that my entrance into this realm, came at this time of the year. I was born physically in the fall, when the leaves are out. But my entrance into this realm was now. I was born again. Now. I was spirit-filled. Now. And for the first time, He let me see that this season is a birthing time for me. I remember my buddy Ray Demers coming from California, driving me crazy. Holy Ghost crazy. Kept him up for hours. What is this thing called tongues? Etc., etc. So, don't want to go any further there. I'll also confirm the swords. As I was praying in this room, there was an awful war going on, I can tell you that. And before you guys got here, the Holy Ghost had a fire coming in because even the fire alarm took off before you got here. And the ambulance came and all wonderful excitement. And so, all I can tell you is I got attacked. How many can get attacked? How many have ever felt pain in their body and they know it was a spiritual thing and not a physical thing? So I'm walking around and I can barely move, okay? Because now I've been praying for about an hour, just walking around praying in the Spirit. And as I began to sing in the Spirit, I irritated a few spirits. And then that's when the fire alarm went off. Am I saying I'm something? Yes, I am. I'm something in the Spirit. Well, when I went over to my friend over there, I told him I needed to have hands laid on my shoulder. And the Lord said to me that I was to polish my sword while he was praying. And so I took my sword and I polished it, cleaned it up. Probably was a little bit of garbage on it. Who knows? But you know, our God is so faithful, because I didn't say anything to him, but I'm sure he saw my hand going up and down, but how would he know what I'm up to? But the Holy Ghost knew, huh? I also want to honor my friend back there for coming up and joining me. And I will confirm that it's the time to win the battle. And this afternoon, as I was pressed of the Lord, he sent me on a journey into Isaiah, but we're not going to go to Isaiah. But the journey started in Isaiah. And he told me from there to go to Gideon. So I'm going to take you to Judges. It's kind of neat because Bible study talked a little bit about Gideon. And we didn't go there. But I want you to see Gideon in chapter 7, Judges chapter 7. Now, I would definitely entice you to check out chapter 6, because there's an awful lot of goodies in chapter 6. I would like, however, maybe we get just kind of run through a little bit of chapter 6, starting at verse 11, and I'd like to take you there real quickly. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." But Sir Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of the Midians." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Isn't that awesome? Our God is willing to wait till this guy goes and kills. If you read the rest, you'll get all the things that he does. He realizes now that he's seen the Lord. He thinks he's going to die. He falls on his face before the Lord. And the Lord goes on, and now he's testing the Lord, because he's really wondering if it's really going to be him. And he's really having a real hard time believing that he's a warrior. Chapter 7. Well, look at verse 39 of chapter 6 before. Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground cover with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew, etc., which was his second confirmation. Now, chapter 7, verse 1, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, which is, by the way, his new name, called Baal Contends, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands." He's got, by the way, thousands of men. "In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Are you hearing? If you think you're going to do something and you're going to do it with a group of people and keep the glory for yourself, forget it. If you've got a bunch of scaredy cats on your team, let them leave. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get healed. It's just they're not going to be very good warriors. But the Lord said, "Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there." Did you hear that? God is going to show Gideon what he wants and whom he wants. I will sift them for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. Verse 6 is very important. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon went and sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets to the others. Now I want to take a break from the word for a moment. If you were really a part of that army, how come only 300 were obedient and took water . How come? I want your input. How come? Take a stab at it.
They were interpreting the dog.
They could see what was going on. The others had their heads in the water. Good answer. Anybody else got an opinion? Yes.
God put it in the spirit so that they would be lapped because he had picked those 300.
Amen. God gave a word to 300 of them. You're going to take some water in your hand. You're going to look like a dog, act like a dog, and look like a fool. But that's what I want you to do. 300 obedient men, obedient to the holy harmony of the Holy Ghost, will beat up anybody. The important factor is that they heard from God and they obeyed him, no matter how stupid it looked. It's true that when your head's in the water, you're not going to be very safe. But I really believe that it's Eugene, when he pointed out this truth. They heard from the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. Did you ever get into a place where you know that you should have done something because God told you, and then somebody else picks up and does your job? And now you feel like a real square. That's an old word, but it's the truth. You're just like a block. You're not going to roll around. You're just unable to roll, okay? So what is God saying? He's saying, I want you to listen to me. I want you to obey me. And if you obey me, you'll become an army. If you are becoming an army of obedient men and women, what happens? The body of Christ will function. Did your left hand ever give you an argument when your right shoulder is itchy? Tell me. Or does it go over and scratch it? Now? Does it argue with you? You understand the simplicity of the body is so simple. If every single person does what God told them to do, the body of Christ would not be able to be touched by the enemy. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth. If every vessel was obedient, you wouldn't have this disharmony. You wouldn't have a wonder of how come that they did that tonight the way they're doing it. You understand? They wouldn't be focused on themselves. They'd be focused on the well-being of the whole group. I could take you to the rest and show you how they were so effective. Yet Gideon, believe it or not, still didn't believe that he was the chosen vessel. He had a problem with unbelief. Did Jesus give up on him? Why? Why didn't Jesus kind of move him off and just get somebody else? He was the ordained vessel. He was the ordained vessel to do that particular work. Did the angel of the Lord call him a what? A mighty
warrior.
A mighty warrior. Did he act like one? Did he feel like one? Did he look like one? None of the above. He gave lip service to the Lord. Well, he told him how he felt. Did you ever tell God how you feel? Does he listen? Yeah, he listens. Does he try to change you?
Depends on what?
Depends on, yeah, you're right. Okay. I want you to see, I want to take you just a little bit further. Verse 9. Well, just a little bit before that, says, now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. I love this part. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Pura, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp, and the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sands on the seashore. That's a lot of camels. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camps. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend, by the way, gives interpretation, responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Did you ever have the enemy tell you the future? Your enemy, now advertising. Didn't you ever get such a wonderful way of God talking to you? Did you ever listen to your enemy giving you a dream and you can see yourself in the dream and you can see yourself as the mighty warrior in the dream? Now, how cool is that? How many have ever got a word of knowledge coming out of a person on some comedy show? I have. Listening to some crazy program, and all of a sudden there's a confirming word as to what God's trying to tell me, and I'm watching Lucy. I'm serious. Okay? So is it too hard for God to show Midian, the Midianites, that they are really going to get slaughtered by God? That's what they're saying. Now listen to me. I mean, his friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash. And does he have any clue that this guy's listening? No. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He didn't go pat the enemy on the back and say, gee, you gave me the answer to prayer. Amen? He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianites' camp into our hands, your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed, by the way, 100 is the number of Anybody know? They're looking it up. Good.
The elect.
Three times over. Three groups of the elect. Chosen by God. Many are called and few are. These guys heard from God and they can hear from God again. They are elected to hear. They can hear and they'll do the job according to instructions. Amen? Now, dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets in empty jars. Now, isn't that incredible? Why didn't he give them swords? He gave them an empty jar in the hands of all them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow me. Follow my lead. And when I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and whisper. Shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jar that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in with their right hand, and the trumpets that were to blow, they shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran crying out as they fled. And when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord, listen again, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. And the army fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerahah as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath, etc. Why? Why did they succeed? Because if you keep on reading, you'll find that they succeeded. And then after that, they got laughed at. Gideon gets insulted, etc., etc. Did you ever have a wonderful battle, win the battle, and then be told that you're a complete fool? Yeah? And usually by your friends. Say ouch. You understand those that are going to criticize you are not going to be the ones that you have no caring about. Because it would have no fruit. The ones that are going to criticize you are the ones that you are really caring about them, and they are caring about you. But they've got an attitude. Did you ever meet anybody who has an attitude towards you after you won a battle? Thank you. So what am I saying to you? How does Gideon respond? He does the best he can with the knowledge he has at the time. And that's what your job is and mine. But the main goal is to listen and to obey. If he tells you lap the water out of your hand, do it. No matter how silly it sounds, because he could be looking to you to see if you are going to be an obedient one, therefore you will be a chosen one. If you are a disobedient one, well, I'm not going to do this because after all, it's too embarrassing. Or I just won't do it because nobody else did it. Thank you. I was so blessed by the lady last Sunday or Tuesday, that came over and laid hands on the banner. Tuesday night, right? 1 week ago. I was so blessed because this was like her third time here, and she got up out of her chair and she went and laid hands on that banner and declared what God told her to do, and she had the guts to do it. That's the elect. Now, do you think she had a war in her brain when it was going on?
Yes.
Thank you. She had a war. But did she obey in spite of the war?
Yes.
Yes. How do you get to be elected by God? How do you get to be chosen by God? You do what he says in spite of what somebody thinks. You act out what you told the Lord that you would obey. Will it be comfortable? Uh-uh. Will you look like a fool? Uh-huh. You may be told you are a fool. So what? Do you want to win the war? Or do you want to be a chosen one? Or one that's laid back and go home and do your stuff in your tent? It's up to you. The elect are those that do what God says to do in spite of every type of persecution. Bow your heads. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, if I've disobeyed in the past, if I've fallen short because I didn't obey, because I was afraid, I was afraid of the persecution, I repent tonight. I'm asking you to help me. Change my mind. I'm changing my thought patterns from one of fear, because all the fearful ones were told to go home. Lord Jesus, I don't want to bow to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. Look at your neighbor right now. Say, he gave me power. He gave me love. And a sound mind. He did not give me fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you catching on? You see, being afraid to do will cause you to be put on the back burner for a while. It's time to come off that back burner. It's time to come forward and to obey the Lord. Ask for special grace to those that are listening over the internet, that they would be blessed this day, even those in different countries that are tuning in and listening to what you have to say, Lord Jesus, through our mouths and through our testimony and through our prayers, that they may be blessed and find themselves within the elect. In Jesus' name I pray. And now may the anointing of the Holy Spirit continue to pour out of you as you obey in Jesus' name. Amen. And share some hugs with each other.